My guest that will be coming up in just a moment is Swami Kirananda. He is the last living disciple of Parahansa Yogananda, for those of you who know who Parahansa Yogananda was. And what a wonderful yogi, and what a wonderful time for us to listen to what he has to say. A thick and internationally regarded author, speaker, accomplished composer, playwright, artist, and world-renowned spiritual teacher, Swami Kirananda refers to himself simply as a humble disciple of the great spiritual leader, Parahansa Yogananda. I would like to welcome you to the Life Bites radio show with me, Nina Bosky, and with me talking to us in the studio. And we're talking about spirituality today. And I thought, you know what, this would be a great person to have on the show, because many people that know you say how sweet and humble you are, which describes how you describe yourself. So welcome to the show.
Everybody in the world to know how humble I am. I'm very proud of it.
That's a good one. I'm very proud of being humble.
It's not an issue, so.
So talk to us a little bit about, what is your mission now? You have been doing this. This has been your life's work, right? And here you are, and you...
Here in Los Angeles?
Here in Los Angeles, but overall, you know, we are in a lot of pain as a society in the world right now. What are some of your...
I feel my mission is to help people, not just those who want to meditate, but people in all walks of life, how to find more success and happiness in what they're doing. I think that this is necessary. If you're not successful and if you aren't happy, you're going to be wallowing in misery instead of trying to find something better. My goal is to help to uplift society as much as I can. And I feel that what you're saying is much truer, perhaps, than you yourself know. I think we're really on the borderline of a very great depression. And I've been talking a lot about that, because I really can see the time in the fairly near future when people in the inner cities won't be able to get food. Trucks bringing food will be hijacked by mobs outside the cities. I really have rather an apocalyptic view of the immediate future. I think in the long run, our society is going uphill. But right now it's in for a plunge, I'm afraid.
So talk to me a little bit about why you think that, because I think that you're on to something, but tell us a little bit more about how you came up with this view and why you're thinking we're going downward.
I couldn't hear those words.
Tell us a little bit about why you're coming up with this view, and I tend to agree with you, but what makes you feel that way?
Well, I think that... what I've done, among other things in my life, is start 8 communities. We have about 1,000 people living in them, and they are now well into their 40s. I think our anniversary was we're in our 42nd anniversary this year, and I think that's a long enough time to show that this is not an impractical idea, that it does work, that people can live in harmony together, they can work supportively, they don't have to be shouting at each other and slamming doors and so on. There can be peace and tranquility and harmony. And I really, as a positive way of life, I want to offer this to people as a good alternative to what they know. I think society is in need of an upliftment. And my guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, who urged people to start such communities, he said that someday this ideal would spread like wildfire through the world. I believe that this time is coming. It's the solution to a very serious depression. If I were to go out into the country and get land, I wouldn't know anything about farming, about carpentry. I'd hammer nails in a board and miss the nail 9 times and then bend it into the board the 10th time. I'm not a carpenter. I'm not a farmer. I'm a decent writer and composer. But I need other people. People need people. We're a social animal, you might say. And it's necessary for us to get together with other people with different talents. This is what communities can accomplish for people. You want people who are like-minded, not just single-talented. And if one person goes out in the country, it'll be hard. But if a group of people can band their energies together, I think this is the wave of the future. It's the time now, with computers and everything, where people can actually earn a living in the country without having to go to the big cities.
So
this change in society is one that I want to help push along.
So let's talk a little bit about this depression. Why do you think that we are so depressed? What's the cause of it?
Avarice. I think people are simply too eager to have money, and in their eagerness, they're willing to beat everybody else down, and they even make competition a virtue. And yet we don't have competition at Ananda, and at the same time, we have great success. I know that when I started a bookstore in Menlo Park in Northern California, the lady I asked to run the bookstore said, "But I don't know anything about books." I said, "It doesn't matter. Befriend your customers and they'll teach you what you need to know about books." So this thing of kindness and cooperation and friendship, these are things that need to be introduced into this business world. Avarice, I think, has been the cause of our present predicament. And kindness will be the way out of it.
So you have a new book out. It's called The New Path, My Life with Parahansa Yogananda.
It's won several important awards. Of course, I'm very pleased by that.
So tell me a little bit about the book.
Well, you know, I was born, my life in a way is particular and I hope interesting. I was born in Romania.
Wow.
My parents were born in Oklahoma. So I'm neither fish nor fowl. I'm neither Romanian, you know, in a sense, proper American. But I grew up in Europe until the age of 13, went to school in Switzerland and England. I speak quite a few languages. And I was always, however, seeking truth. And this search for truth, I avoided the thought of God, because I didn't feel that I liked the God that I heard about in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't seem like a very pleasant gentleman.
Yeah, a little.
And so I decided that I would try to find some other answer in life. And I thought it in physics, I thought it in political systems, I thought it in the arts, I thought it in the beauties of nature. Nothing worked. And I gradually came around to the thought that, like it or not, there must be a God, and there must be an answer to life's problems in God. So I remember going out, taking a long walk into the country, and asking myself, is there or isn't there a God? And if there is, what must he be? And I concluded he has to be consciousness. And I have to be an expression of that consciousness. And the more I am in tune with him, the more aware I will be. And the less I am in tune with him, the less aware I will be. And from that discovery, I decided there's no other answer to what I want in life except to seek him. And I don't, by saying him, I'm being conventional, because I don't think of God as a man or a woman. Actually, I worship God as my divine mother, which is not usual in America. But God is beyond sex. He's that consciousness from which everything has come. And I decided I would give my life to that. And in that decision, I was drawn toward the Indian philosophy, and there came an autobiography of a yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, and that absolutely changed my entire life view. I took the next bus from California, from New York to Los Angeles, California. And when I met Yogananda, I had never thought of saying these words to anyone, but I said, I want to be your disciple. And I've been his disciple now for 62 years.
Ooh, wow, wow. Now, you just felt it. Was it just the sense of knowingness?
What is that?
Was it just a sense of knowingness that you, when you saw him, you just knew it?
I knew it.
Isn't that amazing? I find that if there's something that just knew that that was your calling, and sometimes you don't think about it, and you just are in the presence of somebody that you realize that this is the way you need to go.
Well, I knew it was, but you know, the worry I had on that one was that I might be going crazy. Because I'd never heard of anybody seeking God before. I didn't know about the lives of saints and so on. And I tried to escape this whole destiny. I tried to find it in a simple living in the country and so on. Nothing worked. I just had to give my life to him.
Well, this is an amazing story, too, because I think sometimes when people are seeking their own spirituality, right?
Yeah.
They sometimes think that they might be crazy. And I think, what can you offer somebody that, you know, this is the season, I think, if we get past the holiday hoopla, right?
Yeah.
It's a season for us to go deeper. What would you suggest to somebody who is looking to be more spiritual? What would you say to them? And they're not getting the calling.
Go to somebody who can help you learn to meditate. If you can calm your mind enough, then you can receive his inspirations. And he's actually there. I can say this with absolute certainty. That consciousness, that infinite consciousness, is in you. And it listens to your needs. And you'll find amazing miracles happening to you. But the main thing, and this is the main thing in my book also, was what it was like to live with a man of God. It was the most amazing experience I've ever had. A man who was absolutely full of compassion, good humor, genuinely human, but in a kindly way. And he knew all my thoughts. It was just amazing. He would show that time and again. I'd be thinking something. If it wasn't right, he'd correct me. It was the sort of thing you think of just doesn't happen, but it did.
What do you think that Parahansa Yogananda, if there's one thing or several things that he has taught you to this day that you remember that really stick out?
You know, I didn't hear that question well.
So what is one thing or maybe several things that Parahansa Yogananda has taught you over the years that really has stood out for you?
It's a very strange thing because it was an unspoken moment. I was sitting at his feet and he was editing his commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, and I was thinking what a joy it is to be this man's disciple. And he understood what I was thinking. And he wanted me to know that he was not just a man, he was a principle. And that I should seek beyond the man and seek God, the infinite principle behind what he expressed. And he helped at a certain point, he asked me to help him to his feet. And he looked at me very intensely in the eyes. And he said, just a bulge of the ocean, we are all manifestations of God. To me, this was the sweetest moment I had with him. Yes, there are miracles I could talk about, but this realization that he didn't see himself as existing separately as a human being, he was just a part, a manifestation of that infinite consciousness. So are you, and so are we. But we have this little ego that gets in the way. Yogananda didn't have that ego.
So looking back on your life, what do you feel is your most significant accomplishment, and what do you still want to see accomplished in your lifetime?
In my lifetime, well, I'm not a young man right now. I'd say 84 was getting up there.
But you're young at heart.
I have this desire, which is entirely impractical and will never be fulfilled. I would like to see the entire world uplifted in divine joy and love. And anything that will bring that about, I rejoice over. I'm happy to see other people happy. I'm happy to see love in people. When I go in the streets and I see people not making eye contact with one another, I smile at them. I try to encourage them to understand that they're my brothers, my friends, my sisters. We're all one. And so any specific thing I do, to me, doesn't matter. In fact, I don't really feel I've done anything. God has done a few things through me, but I find that the more I let Him do it through me rather than doing it myself, the more I'm able to accomplish.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Isn't that the truth? Well, I would like to thank you so much for being on the show today.
It's been my joy.
It's been a true honor, and I look forward to more of your accomplishments with a lot of people experiencing this joy and love.
Thank you so much.
All right. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.